understand his word, and then we'll have a look at these passages together. Let's pray. Our Father, thanks so much that we can come here to church today and we can hear you speak to us about life. Father, please help us to understand what Christmas is about. Please help us to understand the Lord Jesus so we might understand how we can have life in him. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to do this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a nativity scene at your place? And can I ask, is it beautiful? Is it an attractive nativity scene with saintly looking wise men and wholesome looking shepherds? Do you have a really nice nativity scene? I hope you do. Are the animals beautiful and clean in your nativity scene? Can I go as far as asking, are there any animal droppings in your nativity scene? You don't see it very often. Is the baby Jesus lying on gleaming fresh straw? And isn't it all just a little bit too clean? It's all just a little bit too neat, too nice. Don't get me wrong, I love nativity scenes. But I just wonder whether we've cleaned them up a little bit too much. What was it really like when Jesus was born into our world? See, our nativity scenes have cleaned it up and prettied it up and made it nice. But what was it really like? Luke's gospel is brilliant because Luke doesn't shy away from the dirt and the grime. So this morning, I kind of want to reintroduce a little bit of the dirt and the grime into the nativity scene. And I guess, I want to help us understand what Christmas is really about by understanding the dirt and the grime. See, Luke tells us right up front that the maternity ward was far from ideal. Have a look at those verses. In the second Bible reading, inside the outline, if you look at Luke 2, verses 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We're meant to see in these verses that this was not the ideal place to give birth. A manger. An animal feed trough. It's not the nice, clean crib that we tend to think of. And what about the baby's first visitors? Do you think the shepherds were nice and clean and well-dressed? Have a look at verses 8 to 11 of the same passage. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Have you ever worked on a farm? In my holidays when I was a student, I needed to earn a little bit of money, so I went harvesting out west. I didn't even work with animals. I just worked with wheat. And at the end of every day, I'd come in for a shower, and I was filthy. That's what happens when you look after farm animals, when you're out farming. Do you think these shepherds came in for a shower before dinner? There were no showers. They were camping out in the fields, under the stars. They lived in their sweat and their grime. So when they received this great news about their Saviour being born, do you think they scrubbed up a little bit before visiting? Here's the top five things I think that they did not say to each other that night. Okay, who's got the shampoo? Which one of you took my exfoliator and didn't put it back? Should I wear the Calvin Klein fragrance or should I try to smell like the Old Spice man? Can I borrow some hair product? Does this new shepherd's cloak make my bottom look too big? They're not going to have said those things, are they? They're not going to have hung around and got nicely ready. This was the kind of moment that was too important to waste time with window dressing. Look at what they did do. Verses 15 and 16. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. The shepherds didn't hang around to get clean, to clean up. And do you think the wise men were any cleaner? Have you ever smelt a camel? Have you ever lived on one for a few months without suitable amenities? We've got to get the grime back into this story. Do you think it's possible we've cleaned up the nativity scene just a little bit too much? Is it possible that our nativity scenes are just too nice, too neat, too clean, too shiny? But perhaps there's something even worse than the lack of physical dirt and grime in our nativity scenes. Do the shepherds in your nativity scene look saintly? Do the wise men look like they've never set a foot wrong in their entire lives? Do the characters in your nativity scene look like they've just stepped out of a monastery? If that's the case, then I've got a great nativity idea for you today that will help you put your nativity scene back so that it will better communicate what Christmas is all about. See, when we construct our new improved nativity scenes, the place to start is to get our thinking right. We've got to understand that Jesus didn't come for saints. Jesus came for sinners. That is what the Bible tells us. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in the other reading that we've read this morning. Have a look at the other reading in your outlines. Have a look at verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Christmas is for sinners. Jesus came into our world to save sinners. This Bible passage says explicitly that Jesus was born into that stable for the explicit purpose of saving not saints, but sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul thinks that he is the perfect example of what Christmas is all about. He was not squeaky clean. He was no saint. He admits it himself. Have a look at verse 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Paul is saying there that he is the model sinner. A violent, persecuting, blaspheming man. Exactly the kind of person that Jesus came to save. Jesus came to save people who haven't lived perfect lives. Jesus came to save people who understand that they've failed God. Jesus came to save people who need forgiveness. And so the shepherds, the wise men, and even Mary and Joseph are in that category. Sinners in need of forgiveness. If only our nativity scenes could show that. But how could a nativity scene show that? How could they bring that across? Here at the arrival of this precious baby saviour, the people standing around were sinners in desperate need of a saviour. How could a nativity scene show that? Well, ironically, I think Madame Tussaud's wax museum has just about come closest to showing us. They did a nativity scene a couple of years ago in London at Madame Tussaud's. And their nativity scene attracted a lot of attention because it did not consist of the usual anonymous shepherds, angels, wise men. The wise men were played by, and I think there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek here, Tony Blair, George Bush, and the Duke of Edinburgh. Three of the wisest going around. The angel hovering overhead was Kylie Minogue. The shepherds were Hugh Grant and Samuel L. Jackson. And any guesses who played the starring couple? Posh and Bex. David Beckham and his wife Victoria played Mary and Joseph. And, you might realise it, Madame Tussauds got a lot of complaints. Even the Vatican itself wrote to complain. Let me read to you from the Vatican's complaint. This is what the official spokesman for the Vatican said about it. You cannot use contemporary personalities as the central figures of the Nativity. And it becomes even worse, if that were possible, if the people may be of questionable moral standing. I completely disagree. If Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, then people of questionable moral standing are perfect for the nativity scene. Absolutely perfect. People of questionable moral standing are just the kind of people that Jesus came into our world to save. Jesus came to save sinners. People of questionable moral standing. And that is really good news for you and me, isn't it? Because that means Jesus came to save people just like us. People who are not perfect. People who've made mistakes. People who've said things and done things that we regret. People who know our flaws and our failures. I don't know how you feel about the title sinner. I guess some people really don't like facing that stark reality. But look, if you're worried about claiming that title sinner, you need to take heart from the Apostle Paul. He not only owns up to being a sinner, he even claims that he is the world champion sinner. Paul thinks that when it comes to sin, he was the worst. So if you're having trouble swallowing that title sinner, take heart from Paul. There's no point pretending that you aren't a sinner. The thing we need to do is admit that we are sinners and to thank God that we're just the kind of people Jesus came into the world to save. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. But you might be at the other end of the spectrum. You might be someone who feels like you could challenge the Apostle Paul for the title. You might know your sin all too well and think, Paul's got nothing on me. God wouldn't want to save me. Because I'm not just a sinner, I am a sinner. Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't think so. Paul thinks that if Jesus can save him, the worst of sinners, then Jesus can save any sinner. Have a look at verse 16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. You are not too sinful to find salvation in Jesus. Christmas really is great news for sinners, isn't it? Because Christmas is all about God's mercy and grace offered to people like us who don't deserve it. Christmas is about mercy and grace. You see, Christmas isn't about, it is not about getting what you deserve. It's about getting the gift of God's mercy that you don't deserve. The Apostle Paul, the self-proclaimed worst of sinners, understood this very well. Just as Paul was the model sinner, Paul is also the model of someone who has received mercy and grace from Christ Jesus. He says that in verses 13 and 14. Have a look with me. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Mercy and grace. They are beautiful words, aren't they? Beautiful words that speak of God holding back the judgment that we sinners deserve and mercifully bringing forward a Saviour who would die on the cross and take that judgment that we deserve. Mercy and grace. Mercy is when God withholds the judgment from us. Grace is when Jesus takes it for us and gives us his gift of forgiveness. Mercy and grace. How could you demonstrate that in a nativity scene, do you think? How could you demonstrate that? Well, surprisingly, I think Mr. Bean has come about the closest. You're aware of Mr. Bean, the bumbling alter ego of comedian Rowan Atkinson. He's a very funny man. Mr. Bean did a Christmas special. You might have seen it. He was in a department store, I think it was Harrods, at Christmas time. He found a nativity scene, and he began to play with the nativity scene. He mooed the cows, and he baaed the sheep, and then he giggled Mary. And then he introduced some unusual toy characters into the nativity scene. He introduced a Tyrannosaurus Rex, not often known to be there at the birth of Jesus. The Tyrannosaurus Rex roared at the baby Jesus and then tried to eat a shepherd. Then Mr. Bean drove a model Sherman tank into the nativity scene. And it was just after that that one of the sales staff interrupted and saved the nativity scene from further torment. But perhaps, just perhaps, the Sherman tank isn't that out of place in a nativity scene. You see, God could have sent a tank instead of a saviour. God had every right to send in the big guns, to punish sinners who had ignored him, who disobeyed him and lived as though he didn't matter. God had every right to destroy all people who had sinned against him like that and disregarded his commandments. God could have sent a tank. We deserved it for our sin. But Christmas is about mercy and grace because God sent a saviour and not a tank. Jesus was born as our Saviour so that he could die on the cross as our Saviour and take the punishment for sin that we deserve. And that means that sinners like you and me can put our trust in Jesus and receive mercy from God's judgment and have eternal life with God forever. Paul is the perfect example of the change that God can make in your life. Look again at verse 16. But for that very reason, Paul, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. If you want eternal life with God, the only way you can find it is by trusting in the Saviour that he has sent. That is why Jesus came into our world. So make sure you get the Saviour right this Christmas. Make sure you get the Saviour right. What does your nativity scene say about you? Does it show that Christmas is about Jesus coming into the world to save sinners? Does it show that Christmas is all about mercy and grace? Now look, I've got an idea that you might want to take up. An idea of making your nativity scene communicate a little bit better what Christmas is all about. You need to add in another character to your nativity scene. It's not a Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's not a tank. What I want you to do when you get home is I want you to go and find an ordinary toy figure. Really good if it's really beaten up and dirty and ugly and not nice in any way. A really ordinary toy figure. And I want you to place that in your nativity scene. Put it anywhere you like in the nativity scene. I don't mind. That figure represents you and me. Sinners who Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Now, I know we weren't there. We weren't born when Jesus was born. But we share in that birth just as much as the shepherds and the wise men. We share in that birth because Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let that ordinary, dirty, little beaten around figure remind you that Christmas is all about Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. Let it remind you that sinners like you and me can find mercy and grace by trusting in the one who was born as our Saviour and who died as our Saviour. But this Christmas also, don't just get your nativity scene right. Don't just get your nativity scene right with the Saviour. Get your life right with the Saviour. If you haven't yet taken Jesus on as your personal Saviour, then you are missing out on his salvation. You are missing out on grace and mercy. You are missing out on life with God. This Christmas, the very best thing you will get is mercy and grace from God and forgiveness for your sins. God is holding them out to you through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. If you want the forgiveness that he's offering and the salvation that he came to bring, you need to put your trust in him and make him your king. I reckon there's no better time to do that than Christmas time, than this Christmas, than today, so that you can really celebrate Christmas this year. Now, if you want to do that today, in a moment, I'm going to pray the kind of prayer that you could pray to God to take Jesus on as your Saviour, to receive him as your Saviour and to make him your King. There are no magic words in the prayer. It's really just, this is the sentiment, a statement of your desire to make Jesus your King, to repent of your sins and to trust the Saviour for salvation. Now, many of the people who are here today at church have already done this in years gone by. Perhaps this year some of you have done it. And I will guarantee you that there's not one person here who has done this, who has taken Jesus on as Lord and Saviour, who regrets that decision. But if you haven't yet done it, then today is a great day to do it. Today is a great day to receive the salvation that Jesus came to give to sinners. If you want to become a follower of Jesus, then listen to the prayer that I'm about to pray. I'm actually going to read it through to you. I don't want to surprise you. I want you to know what we're praying so that you can say, yep, that's what I want to say to God. I want Jesus as my Saviour. So let me first read the prayer that I'm going to pray in a little while. Let me read it to you so you can hear. No surprises. It's going to go like this. Dear God, I am sorry for my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to be my Saviour. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me and please help me to follow Jesus as my King. That's the prayer, and that's the kind of thing that you need to say to God if you want Jesus as your Saviour. So I'll pray that prayer now, and I'll pray it slowly, and I'll stop after each line. And if you want to take Jesus on as your Saviour today, why don't you repeat the line quietly in your head to God? God will hear you. I'll leave enough space after each line. And we will pray together in that way. So if you want Jesus as your Saviour, please join me and pray with me now. Let's all bow our heads. Dear God, I am sorry for my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to be my Saviour. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Please forgive me for my sin. Thank you that you raised Jesus from death as our King. Please help me to follow Jesus as my King. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and really meant it, rest assured that God has heard your prayer and is delighted to extend forgiveness to you and to have you back in his family. You've started out on a great new journey in a new relationship with God as a forgiven sinner. It's very exciting. And your friends here at the Lakes Church would really like to help you as you start out on this new journey. And that's why they've put together these little feedback cards. I'd love you to take them out. I just want to talk you through them so that we can all fill them in together and no one feels out of place. Because this is really helpful for people who've made the decision today to follow Jesus, to have Jesus as their Saviour, to get the help they need as they start out in this great new adventure with Jesus as King. So would you take that out? I'll just talk you through it briefly so you know what's going on and what's helpful. Name and address details are very helpful so that people here who want to help can get in touch with you. I'll leave you to do those. But it's really the boxes that I want to talk to you about. The top box says, I would like to find out more about Jesus. If you've prayed today to take on Jesus as your Saviour, that is the box to tick. Because I want you to learn about your great Saviour. and learn more about the salvation that you have received today. So tick that box, but also just write somewhere nearby, prayed. That'll help the ministry staff here to get the help to you that you need as you start out in this new life as a Christian. There's a few other boxes there as well. And if you really are thinking about taking on Jesus as your Saviour, but you haven't felt like you can do it today, you can also tick the top box saying, yep, I still need to think a little bit more about this. I still want a little bit more information before I make this big decision. That's fine. The friends at church here would love to help you with that. So would you please take a moment now, if everyone fills this out together, no one will feel awkward filling it out by themselves. Even if you've been here at church 8 years, please still fill it in today, and it'll just help everyone to feel more comfortable. Take a moment to fill that in, and then I think I'll hand back to Michael after that. Thank you so much for having me and our team here this week and this morning.